WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Happy Wednesday to you. Welcome into a new day here on the program. And so far, it's starting off a little hectic, but not too bad out there. 61 degrees isn't a bad start to the day. And you did hear Christina mention that the sun is going to set before 8 p.m. I don't know. I think I don't get too hung up on when the sun rises, when the sun sets. I mean, I guess when it rises, it's right in my face, so... But I don't get too wrapped up in the sunsets. I just will always remember back to being a kid and getting told to go to bed, and it's 9 o'clock, but the sun's still out. Like I can still see, like it's still light out outside. But I'm not too upset about the sub 8 p.m. sunset. I just naturally assume all the time that the sun sets before 8. I don't know. I never get myself out of that mindset for some reason. Anyway, today is going to be Wrestling Wednesday. It's not going to be wrestling all day. But later on, we will hear for a few minutes about an event, a couple of events related to wrestling that are happening this weekend. But I'm calling it Wrestling Wednesday because we're going to be giving away some tickets, too, to one of these events. So Gladiator Games is happening on August 9th at Kilburn Mill in the south end of New Bedford. And we've got tickets to give away for that. I've been given 3 pairs of tickets to give away. So we'll do that after we talk to Davey Cash later on today. He is one of the promoters, one of the wrestlers. And he's going to talk with us about not only the event there, but also their wrestling school that they've opened up. And then there's also another event happening this weekend for wrestling fans. Your chance to come down and meet an actual WWE superstar in New Bedford. So all that and more coming up a little bit later on. So we were talking yesterday. I talked some more about the folks that were camped out across from the 7-Eleven on the Cogswell off-ramp coming from 195 westbound. And I got a message last night that they were gone. I didn't get a chance to go over there and see if they had found a way to come back. Because I suspect what happened is when they were on the other side of the road, somebody tried to move them on from there and they just went to the other side. So I didn't get a chance to go see if they had, you know, waited for someone to leave and then had returned back. Hopefully they were able to get them, if they were people that were in need of assistance, they were able to get them that assistance. But like I said, I had a feeling, and I didn't talk to anybody, but I had a feeling that these are people that are, you know, not permanently there, but just kind of passing through. And then, of course, we have the story. You heard Mike Roberts mention it, but the Fall River Police going and conducting what they called Operation Clear Path, 38 arrests along the Quickishan River Rail Trail in a certain section where they've had, what was it, 800 calls over the past 3 years? An area that had become dangerous and a public safety problem. And that's, you know, we understand that, hey, believe me, I know better than anybody, when people don't have anywhere else to go, and certainly being able to congregate with other people that are in the same situation can be beneficial, but you can't create a place that is unsafe. not only for the public who want to walk the rail trail, but also for the people that are staying there. You know, that's one of the concerns that people had when the idea of a quote-unquote tent city was brought up in New Bedford, was that this turns it into a little den of criminality. Now, this would have been something that was regulated. So I don't think that would have happened. But and by the way, I heard Chris say the other day that Council President Shane Burgo has not backed down from that plan. He has. He's mentioned it on this show. And he's even said on this show that it wasn't so much about whether or not to do it, but it was about having the conversation about it, to look at all the possibilities. And I've been meaning to check in with the person who oversees the village that they built in Rhode Island to see how that's working out. Maybe we can get her to come on for a follow-up. I'll try to reach out today if I remember and see if we can get her in the next couple of weeks to come on with a follow-up to let us know how that's going. Those little, I forget what the term was that we were calling them, but they were just like little, basically little sheds. Tiny, tiny, tiny houses that had, you know, a bed and air conditioning and electricity. But the problem is when you get these groups of people that gather together unsupervised, not only can they have their issues themselves, which any group of people can have issues, but you get a criminal element that takes advantage of it. And it sounds like that's what was going on in Fall River. That maybe drug dealers knew that these folks were addicts and would go down there and exploit them. People knew that they might have had some, you know, other folks who are also unhoused. They hear about what they have going on over there, and then they go and they take some of that from them. I mean, these are the kind of things that happen, that not only can you have your own problems that erupt within one of these communities, but also that people take advantage of those disadvantaged folks. And it sounds like, at least from some of the reporting I read, I know that there's concern about the way the Fall River Police handled this, but it sounds like they tried to do it with respect to the people that were living there. Maybe not so much respect for the people that were the criminal element of it. There was one person who complained that the police just rolled up unannounced. Well, I mean, did you want them to send a letter? Also, rolling up unannounced is the idea. I mean, you're on public property, yes, but that, and that's where the legal part comes into play, because as Mayor Mitchell's explained, there have been lawsuits about that. About, can you really keep folks off public land? And as you've seen, his plan in the past has been things like, well, we don't want them standing on the median of the octopus, so we're going to put those spiked cobblestones on there, as this, the so-called spiked cobblestones. How did that work out? They've been there for years now, and there's still always people down there. And in fact, it gave them something to hold their drinking. Many times I pulled up and like there's a Dunkin' Ice coffee shoved between some of those stones. So there are a lot of folks that do need help. There are a lot of folks that aren't going to take that help. There are a lot of folks that are going to take advantage of those in either situation. And it sounds like what the police were trying to do was eliminate that problem. And again, I feel for any person that doesn't have a place to live, but you also can't just say, well, you can set up camp in a park because it's public land. And then, well, what stops, you know, someone else and their kid from saying, well, let's go camping at Fort Tabor this weekend. Let's just go set up a tent at Fort Tabor. They can't stop us. It's a public park. There has to be some regulation of it. But maybe you feel differently. 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. I also have a nice story to share at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app and on our Facebook page. A nice story of a young boy at the feast who did the right thing. He found something that didn't belong to him. And rather than slip it, well, we don't know exactly what the object is, but if he could slip it in his pocket, rather than doing that, he brought it to a police officer and informed them that he had found this property. And so the police department rewarded him with a challenge coin. And if you haven't seen one of the New Bedford Police challenge coins, we have a photo of it in the story. But they're really cool. They were designed by Assistant Deputy Chief Scott Carolla. He came on a couple of years ago when they launched the program. They launched the challenge coins. He came on and described to us, you know, how they get used. And they're a way with, you know, from department to department to honor each other. So, you know, when somebody comes and visits from another department, they'll exchange challenge coins, things like that. But they also use it for the community as a way to kind of reward them. And certainly that's what they were doing with young Nolan. And what I liked the most about it was not only the fact that this young man had that kind of integrity, but that not only did the police recognize that, but when you saw the post on the police Facebook page, so much of the community did as well. And, you know, nobody should ever have to be celebrated for doing the right thing, right? Like, that's what we always say. You do the right thing because it's the right thing to do, not because you expect accolades for it. But also when you have a young person who is learning, you know, the difference between right and wrong, and shaping into the eventual person that they will be as an adult, it's nice to have a little reinforcement, positive reinforcement when they do the right thing. It's nice to have some recognition for that. And I get the feeling Nolan never expected that. He just did it because it was the right thing to do, but it's good to then you not only reward him, but to show that there are people that do the right thing. And it's not just about, well, hey, this kid got a challenge coin. It's also about, look at how much the community appreciated his kindness and his integrity. So again, you can read about that at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. You can see the great photo of him with the new police chief, Jason Thody. And Chief Thody gave us a quote for the story. It's one of those things that, you know, makes you feel good. And for everybody that complains about the feast, which all the complaints that I heard for years, none of those was my experience. And none of those have really been anybody's experience for the last long time. But that was indicative of the kind of atmosphere that I saw all 4 days. Just a sense of community, people helping each other out, getting along. Nobody getting upset with anybody else. Everybody just having a good time. So again, you can check that out on the website, on the app, on the Facebook page, and see it for yourself. Right now, I'm going to take my first break of the morning. 508-996-0500. We will be right back. And welcome back in. We're going to be going to the news in just a moment. When we come back on the other side, we can talk with you at 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Also, if you hadn't heard, there was a mosquito sample that tested positive a few days ago for West Nile virus in New Bedford. But the mosquito sample, you know, there's been a number of mosquito samples that have tested positive for West Nile across Massachusetts, but we've had no human cases yet this year. And actually only one animal case. So I wouldn't, you know, be overly concerned, but they are going to increase some spraying in that area in addition to the regular spraying that they do. So just be aware of that. That's going to happen on Thursday. So you can read more about it at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. But right now, let's turn things over to Mike Roberts in the WBSM newsroom.
Four killed in an Arizona plane crash. Funding for the new mRNA vaccines has been cut. And new data from the FBI.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The Department of Health and Human Services canceling nearly two dozen vaccine development projects targeting viruses like COVID-19 and the flu. Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. announced yesterday he's halting $500 million in funding for mRNA-based vaccines. Those were credited with helping to slow the COVID pandemic. Kennedy has long been a critic of mRNA vaccine technology. He says the funding would be better spent elsewhere. Four people dead after a plane crash in northeast Arizona yesterday afternoon.
The Navajo Police Department says the medical transport plane crashed and burned near Chinle Municipal Airport. All four people on board that plane died in the crash. Police say they were not from Arizona. The aircraft was registered to CSI Aviation, an Albuquerque, New Mexico-based medical flight service. The plane was reportedly on the way to pick up a patient at a local hospital. The National Transportation Safety Board is now investigating the cause of that crash. I'm Brad Siegel.
The FBI is out with its annual report on crime, showing a decline in violent crime across the U.S. According to the data, there were 379 violent crimes per 100,000 residents in 2023. In 2024, the number of crimes fell to 359, about a 5% decrease. The annual report shows homicides nationwide dropped by about 15%. Transportation Secretary and interim NASA Administrator Sean Duffy outlining the space agency's accelerated plan to build nuclear reactors on the moon.
The fast-track plan is part of the administration's attention to human spaceflight.
We're in a race to the moon, in a race with China to the moon, and to have a base on the moon, we need energy.
Duffy said the reactor will have to generate 100 kilowatts of output, which is about the same amount of energy a 2,000-square-foot home uses every 3.5 days. According to Duffy, the agency has spent millions on studies, but will now plan to move beyond studying and will be given direction to go. I'm Brian Shook.
More homeowners starting to pull their properties off the market as would-be buyers are pushing back on higher home costs.
According to Realtor.com, the rate of delisted homes increased by 47% nationwide in May when compared to last year. Experts say the delisting surge is partly due to the overall expansion in active inventory. Home inventory hit a new post-pandemic high, and sellers aren't in as much of a rush to accept lower than their desired amount. I'm Chris Caraccio.
Officials at a zoo in Denmark are asking for unwanted pets as donations to help feed their enclosed predators. Staffers say the practice mirrors the natural food chain. Donated pets such as healthy horses, chickens, and other small animals will be gently euthanized before feeding time. The request was posted to Facebook last week. The NFL and ESPN has reached a media deal. ESPN made that announcement last night, revealing that it will acquire NFL Network and several other media assets owned by the league. ESPN will also get certain rights to the Red Zone channel, while the NFL will retain ownership of it. In exchange, the NFL will get a 10% equity stake in ESPN.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox win again, lucky 7 in a row. 6-2 over the Royals, back in action tonight at 7:10.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
Maybe some sweatshirt weather on this Wednesday morning. Temperatures on either side of 60 degrees. Not as hazy as the last 2 days. That smoke's going to continue to dissipate throughout the day as well. Largely some cloud cover today. A couple peaks of sunshine here and there, especially in the second half of the day. Temperatures stay below average in the afternoon with most of us in the mid and upper 70s. Couple spots could reach 80 degrees, but that is just about it. Either way, a nice enough day to get outside if that's what you're choosing, especially with our air quality improving here across southern New England. I'm ABC 6 Chief Meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
Welcome back in. 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. I had mentioned, of course, before the news, the mosquito that tested positive in New Bedford for West Nile virus. But again, there's been many mosquito samples across the state, including multiple locations in Bristol County, where they've detected it in the mosquitoes. This is a primarily bird-biting mosquito. So we are still at a relatively low risk, well, actually at low risk, for West Nile virus in New Bedford. And this mosquito sample was taken in the area of Oak Grove Cemetery in New Bedford. And speaking of Oak Grove cemeteries, something that we were following along, well, maybe you've been following along with, but kind of behind the scenes here, I had been talking with some friends and with the owner of Miss Lizzie's Coffee in Fall River about trying to get a statue of some kind on the grave of Eliza Borden, who was a relative of Lizzie Borden. And as you know, just 2 days ago on Monday was the anniversary of the Borden murders. And I've been trying to get, you know, we had been talking amongst ourselves about raising the funds to have a statue for Eliza Borden, because she's been unfairly maligned for a long time as this woman who went crazy and killed her kids and killed herself. This happened in the house next door to the Lizzie Borden house, what is now Miss Lizzie's Coffee. And you can actually go down into the basement where this occurred. But because she had been so unfairly maligned, and when you go to her grave, you know, there's a nice stone for her husband and then a small stone for her and the children. We thought it would be nice if there was something there to kind of stand in honor of Eliza Borden and of all those who have suffered from postpartum depression and maybe have been, you know, I don't want to say unfairly maligned, because still horrible tragedies happen, but we have a better understanding now than we did in Eliza Borden's time of what that meant and what a person going through that is dealing with. But I did hear back from the folks in charge of the cemetery yesterday. It took a little while, but I'm sure, you know, they have a lot of things to check on and verify. And they did say that it would not be possible to put a statue there because all of the plots already have stones on them. And so I sent a follow-up, still waiting for an answer on the follow-up. I did ask if there is a way we can put a memorial bench in the vicinity. Just a place where people who have dealt with postpartum themselves can maybe come and sit and, you know, have a moment of reflection. Or maybe those who have lost children can sit and have a moment of reflection. So waiting to hear back about that. Plus, I think it would, I mean, just from a fundraising standpoint, I think it would be easier to raise the funds for a bench than for a statue. But our rationale for the statue was, well, Andrew Borden's family has a statue. And that also makes it a marker where it makes it easy to find, whereas, you know, it's a little harder to find Eliza Borden and the children's graves. One of the questions that popped up in my mind later, and I didn't think to ask this yesterday, and it's not my place to ask this part of it because I'm not part of the family. But could a statue just be an upgraded headstone? Where, you know, if there's already a headstone for Eliza Borden, okay, but what about when you just want to put a better headstone on a grave? But again, she's not my family, so I wouldn't be the person to go there and say, well, I want to get rid of that stone and put a new stone. But if anybody listening is a direct descendant of Eliza Borden and is responsible for the perpetual care of that site, or at least the person of contact for anything related to that gravesite, if you want to reach out to me and think that it's a good idea to upgrade that headstone, I'm sure we could find a way to make that happen. But again, it's not my place. I'm trying to look for something that would just recognize the family as opposed to, you know, replace a headstone. Because I feel partially responsible because, you know, we were people that told that story for a number of years. And maybe not through the most understanding lens. So I think those of us in the paranormal world who have experienced those spirits or claim to have, you know, we have the responsibility to say, well, we've got to kind of set the record straight because we were telling this version of the story. And believe me, that happens a lot in the paranormal world where we have to learn more information and then it changes the way that we share a story. I've told this story before, but for a number of years, for a long time, for centuries, people accused Reverend Thomas Barnard of being one of the accusers in the Salem witch trials. That he was one of the people who sentenced these witches. He was one of the people who persecuted these alleged witches. And he was one of the people who was pushing the frenzy of the witch trials. That's what we believe. That's what history told us for centuries. That was the history. And then the North Andover Historical Society did a deeper dive into that. And said, you know what, we're not just going to take this as supposed fact. We're going to research this more. And in that research, they found out that that wasn't the case at all, that he was attempting to exonerate the people who were accused. I think people just assume because he was a student of Cotton Mather that he was some, you know, he was subservient to Cotton Mather and he was doing his bidding. But I think it turns out that that was not the case, that it was... He was trying to stand up for what was right in a time when people were not doing the right thing. And for that, he should be honored, not chastised. So that's hundreds of years of history changed with a little bit more research. And now it's completely changed the way that we handle investigation of that property when for years we were going in there telling stories about how he was a horrible person who sentenced these alleged witches, and now it turns out he was probably one of the few people advocating for them. So you get a different lens of things, and then you have to do a little bit of a mea culpa and say, you know, now let's just make sure we push the right information and combat the wrong information where it still exists. Anyway, 508-996-0500. I've got to take a break here. We will be back in a few moments. And welcome back in, 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And coming up in the next hour, we will have our Gen X Files. I don't know why I blanked on what we call it. We will have your Gen X Files, your look at pop culture for today. And don't forget that tomorrow, because it's Thursday, it'll be our brain freeze question of the week. And you'll have a chance to win a free porch sampler from McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream. But also, if you're in the mood to win something, you can go to WBSM.com on the WBSM app and enter to win tickets to see the Doobie Brothers. They're coming to Xfinity Center in Mansfield on August 15th. It's a Friday night. They're going to be performing along with Jimmy Buffett's Coral Reefer Band. They're going to be the openers, and it'll be a night of great music, and you could be there. You just got to enter to win at WBSM.com or on the WBSM app. It's brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven, the home of the Purple Dot, where you can try before you buy and where you can stop in and get all of your tailgating supplies before the show. Well, I mean, I guess some of the stuff you might do in the parking lot before the show you can't get at Stevie's, but the stuff you drink, you can get at Stevie's. And, of course, you can also join the Rackhouse Club, the Craft Beer Club. Come by for all their great tasting events and so much more. And they're located at 115 Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven. As we go through the pop culture stuff of today, you know, there's a lot of things that don't quite make it into the Gen X Files because it doesn't necessarily apply to, like, the time period that we're talking about of Gen X. But today is a pretty significant date because today was the day that they dropped the atomic bomb on Hiroshima. Today was when they dropped Little Boy. It's also the day in which the Voting Rights Act of 1965 was signed. But you know how they have those national days for everything? Today is National Root Beer Float Day. And I love a good root beer float. I love root beer. I love ice cream. Putting the two together are an awesome combination. But you don't really see it on too many menus anymore. That's why when my son was younger and he played baseball, he used to love on a Saturday after baseball to go to Red Robin for lunch. Well, early dinner by that point. And I would never complain with that because they had bottomless root beer floats. I love a good root beer float. I don't have them nearly as much as I used to. But it's a treat when you can find one. But another interesting thing about today in history, from the pop culture perspective, but just a little bit out of the realm of what would be the Gen X Files. Today was the final broadcast in 1956 of the Dumont Television Network. It was a boxing match. And it was the final thing that the Dumont Network ever broadcast. And as a nerd for all that kind of stuff, I'm fascinated by the Dumont Network and some of those early programs. Unfortunately, most of it is gone. They didn't save tape of any of that stuff. You do get some, what do they call them, kinescopes of old shows, but you really don't get a chance to see some of that stuff. So there were sitcoms and talk shows and all kinds of things that aired on that network that people will never, ever get the chance to see again. And that's fascinating to me in a way, since we have so much recorded media in the history of television. But anyway, maybe some of you remember watching that on the Dumont Network. Maybe you remember watching the Dumont Network, but TV in general used to be so much different. There used to be pay channels, even over broadcast television, that you needed a scrambler box for. There used to be all kinds of different networks that popped up over the years. And it's fascinating when you look at how it all worked. And now, most of it's on the internet. All right, I've got to take one more break here before the end of the hour. Well, if you need to get your laundry clean and you don't want to break your stride, why don't you just bring it to Dash Laundromat? Then you don't have to worry about breaking your stride at all because they'll do it for you, like they do for me. But anyway, that's a whole different story. All right, we're going to be going into the news in just a moment. When we come back on the other side, we can talk with you. 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. We also have, of course,